delighted to be talking to the superstar author, Peter James. If you want to find out more about him, peterjames.com is the website to go to. His latest book, You Are Dead, is out this week. And we're talking haunted houses, Peter. I've only ever, in my entire time of doing Homes Under the Hammer, been in one house where we all agreed it was haunted. And we were standing there filming, and I'm not kidding, a light bulb dropped. And instead of dropping directly down, it dropped about 2 feet away from where it should have naturally dropped under the force of gravity. And it turns out that there was a man there who'd lived, and the place was full of CCD TV cameras, and he clearly didn't like us being there.
Wow.
Did you actually experience anything? Did you see things or just feel things or what?
Yeah, very much. And funny enough, literally about the first quarter of the house on my ghost story novel I wrote, The House on Cold Hill, is very much based on
oh, wow.
What happened. What happened was that my then wife and I, we'd always been townies. We were living in Brighton. I'd had my sort of early success with Possession, my sort of supernatural thriller, and the second book, Dreamer. And we decided to do the dream, which was to buy the big Georgian wreck in the countryside and do it up. And so we bought this house. And the day we moved in, I was standing with my mother-in-law by the front porch, guiding the removals men. And she was quite an interesting character. She was chief magistrate of Brighton and Hove at the time, but she also had a fey side in that she'd always have a particular dream of somebody who was going to die, so she was very receptive to things. And we were standing at the door, and the house had a long hallway, and it opened into an atrium, and actually I've got a map of it in the book, and it opened into an atrium. We had to walk through to get into the kitchen, and as I was talking to her, I suddenly saw a shadow move across that atrium, like a flit, like a starling across a fan light. And she turned to me and she said, "Did you see that?" And both I and my wife were a little bit apprehensive about moving to the countryside. You know, having always lived in the comfort of towns, here we are in this isolated house on the edge of a hamlet. And I didn't want my wife to be so scared on day one, so I just said, "No, I didn't see anything." And next day, my wife was a lawyer and she'd gone off to work. And I'm in my office. It's about 11 o'clock, and I go down to get a cup of coffee, and you have to walk through this atrium to get in the kitchen, and I saw these pinpricks of light floating in the air. Some of them were like the size of a pinhead, some about the size of a fingernail. And I thought it was my glasses catching the light. There was a door out to the rear garden. I took my glasses off, put them on, the lights had gone. Same thing happened when I went down at lunchtime, and then again when I went for a cup of tea in the afternoon. And my wife came home, you know, "How was your day, darling?" I decided not to say anything. I thought maybe my imagination's gone a bit rampant after my mother-in-law spooked me out.
Good move.
Yeah. So next day, again, 11, go down for my cup of coffee, there they are again. And we had a dog, and I took him for a walk in the lane, and this old man came up to me, and he said, "Oh, you Mr. James?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Peter James, the author." And I said, "Yes." He said, "You've just bought the manor." I said, "Yes. How are you getting on with your grey lady?" And I said, "What grey lady?" He said, "Well, I used to house sit for the previous owners, and that atrium room before the kitchen, we made it into a snug. I had the heat from the Agra, and I had an armchair in there and a telly, because they lived half the year abroad." And he said, "I was sitting in there one evening watching telly, and this woman in grey silk crinoline with a really angry face just came out the wall, came straight at me. She flicked my face with the dress, stung it, and vanished into the wall behind me." He said, "I was out of there." He said, "Wild horses would not get me back."
Thanks for telling me that, mate. Yes.
I thought, thanks, great. I still didn't say anything to my wife. I thought, you know, maybe the guy's a bit flaky. And the following Sunday, my in-laws came to lunch, and I took my mother-in-law aside. I said, "What did you see the morning we were moving in?" She described this woman exactly.
Oh, no.
So then I tell my wife, and she said, "Well, actually, I've seen this several times too, and I didn't want to tell you and spook you out."
Oh, that's brilliant. But you listen, you can't be so bad, because you lived in that house for 10 years.
Yeah.
Did you make peace with this lady, or how did it work?
Well, it's interesting. We found there was a lovely old lady who lived in the village whose family had owned the house in the first half of the 20th century. And she told us that her mother, back in the sort of 1930s, had become a man-hater. I think she'd become a man-hating lesbian and had sort of really hated any man in the house. And it's interesting, all three couples, who, including us, who bought the house after all, got divorced.
You got divorced? No.
I'm not attributing my divorce to that, but it's kind of interesting. There was a...
Excuse blame on a ghost. I mean, that's fantastic.
There was one room which I really felt uncomfortable in, and we used to put guests in it, and they would very often say, would you mind if we change rooms?